Okay, for all you big vocabulary people, do you know what an overture is? Not a word that we use all the time, but it is one that we're familiar with, and if I use it in context, you probably have no problem recognizing it. And there are a couple different definitions. There's a musical one. And that's not the one I'm talking about, but the definition that I'm using here is when you make a proposal to somebody, and you may do that in subtle ways, or you may show acts of kindness, and your acts of kindness are taken as an overture towards your will and your intent. And for instance, countries can make overtures of peace by doing certain things. And in relationships, we can make overtures. Now, here's one that you might be familiar with. An overture: if a young man is standing before a young woman and she bats her eyelashes at him and says, "Oh, boy, I think you're great." And he's catching those signals. So it's kind of a proposal or a signal, but it's saying, "Hey, the door is open here with me." And that's one way we have an overture. Now, that's the title of the sermon today, and I'm going to use the old outline for my sermon. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to tell you, then I'm going to tell you, then I'm going to tell you what I told you. Okay, you got that? So, what it is I'm going to tell you here is that you and I are in position to make overtures to the Lord. That we can say, "Hey, I want you in my life. I'm welcoming you. I'm here. I'm listening. I'm attentive. I'm available. I have faith in you. I believe in you." We have those things in our lives. They're open doors to the Lord coming and working in our lives. Now, we could also do the opposite. We could send all the opposite signals to the Lord, and we can have shut doors about everything. But we can be really open to Him. And as we've been going through the book of Ruth, there's a couple things to understand. And one of them is that this book is very short, 4 chapters. We're going through it. We're going to be done with it next week. But it is an illustration of our relationship with Christ, our opportunity to be saved by Him, our opportunity to have a strong, healthy relationship with Him. So this is a picture of our salvation and our relationship with Christ. And then it also tells us a story about someone who is an alien and a foreigner, and how they are brought into the line of Christ, and how God works and He adopts people into His family that you would think wouldn't normally be welcome. And that's like you and me. And that's where it gets back again to being a picture of our salvation. Well, let's go ahead and pray, and I'll give you a little recap of what we looked at, and then we'll get into this together. Heavenly Father, we just ask again that You would speak through Your Word here, that it would impact us, and that Your Holy Spirit would have the power and freedom to do with us what You want to do with us, Lord. We ask You to teach us and show us and shape us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, just one more thing I want to mention here on this. What we do here at this church is we go through the Bible, right? We teach the Bible, largely teach through books of the Bible, and we want to be learning from the Bible. So hopefully what you get most of your learning from is the Word of God and not me or the different speakers and things, but you're actually hearing from the Word of God. We will come together, we sing, because we believe that is something that God wants of us, to come together and to lift our voices and to worship Him in that way. It also is very beneficial for us that when we learn to take our eyes off ourselves and to put them on God and to worship Him in that way. We believe this is not the only place that we worship. It's not the only worship that we do. It doesn't stop here. It's not like an hour-long thing. Your whole life, everything you do is worshiping God. Okay, so if you have a relationship with Him, if you're a Christian, if you've received Christ as your Savior, you are a worshiper in everything you do. So if you go to work, if you are a school teacher, if you are a mechanic, if you work on computers, if you work at the hospital, you do all these things. Those are all acts of worship. We need to get strength from somewhere, and we get strength from the Word of God and His Holy Spirit and prayer. And so we encourage those things. We do them together. We gather together at least here once a week. And it's a little bit like a huddle. We come together, we get strengthened, we get taught, and we fellowship with other people, and we serve. And that's really what the church is. It's really not much more complicated than that. It's much like a family. We love each other, we pray for each other, we go through things together. Amen? Amen. All right, so that's what we do, and that's why we're going to be in the Bible. That's why we're going through this book of Ruth, and that's why we're here at this particular point. So we're in Ruth chapter 3, and very brief summary before this. There was a woman named Naomi. She had a husband, Elimelech, and they lived in Bethlehem. Bethlehem means house of bread, in case you didn't know that. And in the house of bread, ironically, there was a famine. There was no food, so her and her husband made this decision to go to Moab to seek food. And this is kind of a questionable decision because Moab was a country and a people that was very hostile to the Jews, to God's people in Israel. They were hostile to them. They had attacked them before, and they didn't have a good. They were cursed by God, Moab, because of this. And so to go there is a little bit of a questionable decision, but they went there. It doesn't give us a lot of background. It doesn't say that they prayed, that God moved them to go there, but they went. And while they were there, the husband dies. Okay, so he dies. So this is very difficult for Naomi. She also has two sons. Her two sons marry two Moabite women. And then after 10 years, her sons die. And so now her husband and her two sons have died, and she's in this foreign land. And while she's there, she hears that God has returned to his people and given them food, and she desires to go back. So she starts to go back, brings these two daughter-in-law's with her, and then she starts thinking. I think at this point her vision's very clouded, I believe. And she says, she realizes she's got a practical problem to solve, and that is that her two daughter-in-laws will not have husbands to take care of them. Sorry, not like today. If you didn't have a husband back then, you were in very difficult and dire straits, much more so than you are today. So she saw the need that her daughter-in-laws needed husbands. And this was kind of one of the things that was driving her the most. And she wasn't thinking so spiritually at this time. She said, "You girls go back to your families where you can find a husband. I'm not going to be able to provide one for you. Go back to your families." And then she says this thing that's really curious. "Go back to your gods." And so that was Naomi. That's where she was. And one daughter-in-law goes back. And the other daughter-in-law, Ruth, of course, who the book is named after, says, "No, I will not go back. Nothing will make me leave your side. Your God will be my God, and I'll go with you." And she'll go with her, even though she's going to be a foreigner and an alien in this land, and she's from these people that the Jewish people don't really appreciate or like. They would look down on, very much so, and it would be a difficult thing for her to come back. She says, "I will go back with you." And so Naomi realizes, okay, she can't be argued with. She takes her back. They go back to the land. When Naomi comes into the land, they say, "Hey, Naomi." And that means sweetness or pleasant. And she says, "Don't call me that. I want you to call me Mara," which means bitter. She says, "Because God's hand has been against me." And so she was in mourning, but she was also clouded by that. And she felt like this was an attack from God on her as far as what had happened. And so we're going to see a lot of this book is about her attitude shift and what had happened. And then in Ruth 2, we have got Ruth showing incredible work ethic and desire to provide. So she goes out and wants to work for herself and Naomi to provide things. So she goes and gleans. And in these Bible times, rather than going on welfare or something like that, people would go and they would go into the farm fields, and the farmers would leave on the fields areas where they could go and they could take food so they can get what they needed by working for it. And so she went out and did that, and she just so happened to come upon this field of this man named Boaz. Now I say just so happened because there really are no coincidences. She made it there because it was God's will and his plan. And anything could have happened to throw this off, but he brought her to this man's field which happened to be a relative, and they needed somebody who wasn't a relative to do what's called redeem them. That means he could step in and become her husband, essentially buy her and her property and fill in. And that's what God's word commanded the Old Testament, the Jewish people to do. And so God provides this relationship with this man, Boaz.